So, you know, during the Dharma discourses, retreats, and Dharma practices, even our in daily life, daily practices in our day-to-day life, you know, whenever we practice, you know, always take the effect or purification of our karma. So due to that, you know, sometimes very easy to feel tired, you know, whenever we discuss Dharma. And like these few hours of, you know, together is maybe 1,000 times tiring than, you know, maybe overnight, you know, disco in the pub. In a whole night in the pub, you know, disco dancing, you know, but you won't feel tired. But then they're comparing to, you know, let's say 15 minutes of Dharma discourse, you know, can be very tiring. And that is a good thing, because it's taking effect of purification of karma because of that. And say, okay, then sometimes, you know, whenever we do worldly things, you know, we feel very uplifted, you know, like the eye become open big like that. But whenever we start to practice, then we start to feel dull, you know, fall asleep like that. It's because of taking effect of purification. So this is how we regard. and Dharma journeys are harder, more difficult, more obstacle than we do some nasty worldly things. It is a good sign, because the purification of the karma are taking effect. You know, when we start to learn Dharma, not, you know, initially not necessarily you'll be inspired, you'll be confused. You know, you have a lot of challenges. You know, emotionally will go through. You know, in mind there's a lot of contradictory, a lot of challenges. You know, to really to accept according with the Dharma teaching is a good sign. It's not a bad sign. It's directly affecting the delusions, you know, the obstacles. The real root of obstacles are directly kind of disturbing, that get disturbed. Means taking effect of purification, you see. So like that. So unless we are already purified, you know, many lifetimes, then even first time when we start to hear Dharma, practice Dharma, you know, we are more energized. But there are many, most cases, you know, have a very negative impact, negative experience that happen when first time you meet, you know, this possibility. It's like a clash of two energy. It's like kind of meeting a clash of two energy, you know. So, and it's good to know that so that you won't give up. So as long as you continue, then you start to feel the taste of, you know, the positive energy, the taste of liberation, taste of the Dharma, you know, then only benefit comes. So like that, you see. So due to this reason, you know, so in a number, you know, so little number that who get attracted to Dharma. It's not because of Dharma is bad. It's not because of Dharma teach bad thing, you know. It's just somehow, you know, too much obscuration. You know, it's so easy to first place to encounter. Even the encounter is not exciting. You know, even though so marvelous, it's so amazing, but then just don't get it. Just don't get it. You know. So like that. You see. Let's say, you know, Geshe Tenzin Zopa going to perform disco dance, you know, and he's going to perform one whole week, you know, there will be huge audience, you know. So Geshe Tenzin Zopa going to teach Lamrim, you know, actually this is so lucky, it's a lot actually, you know, I thought maybe only few. You know, so like that, you see. And some more, if we start to teach the traditional way, which is very strict way, it would be even more boring, you know. So now I'm trying to, you know, like blend a little bit. That's why, you know, sometimes I also don't know why I'm talking, because I try to be a little bit of the, you know, blend from both sides. Then in between, I myself get lost. You know, so anyway, so whatever challenges that you feel, you know, during striving Dharma is a good sign. Even you experience very bad things is a good sign, you know. So just to remember not to give up, you know, you continue, then the light could come. You know, the benefits are already establishing. Is it like that? Okay. Yeah. Okay, then verse 19. So verse 19 onward start to illustrate the characteristic of the vows, then the important characteristic of the vows very much. So verse 19 is that without the vows of the engaged intention, perfect aspiration will not grow. Make effort definitely to take it, since you want the wish for enlightenment to grow. You see? So without the vows of engaging intention, even you take the aspirational vow, you know, the aspiring Bodhisattva vow is not good enough. You know, if you really want to proceed on the path, if you really want to actualize bodhicitta realization within yourself, then one should take Bodhisattva vow. There's a great benefit of taking Bodhisattva vow. So then only perfect aspiration will grow, you know, otherwise will not. So therefore, make effort definitely to take it. Yeah, you know, when you hear the vows, when you hear the Bodhisattva vows, you know, it's almost like, you know, not possible for me to observe it. It's just, it's like everything seems like a bit not possible, you know, for me to observe that within the samsaric worldly life, you know. But then again, by taking and trying your best to observe, even there's a little transgressions maybe occur, but it's still more benefit. So it's still more benefit to take it than not taking it. You see. So in short, how extensive, how elaborate, how complicated, you know, the number of the vows are described, like such as the 18 root vows, 46 secondary vows. If you count one by one, you know, the detail, it sounds like a bit complicated. You know, it sounds like how to remember first place, you know. So as long as, you know, we remember what are the six paramita, six perfection, practice generosity, morality, patience, joyous effort, concentration, and wisdom. So this is easy to remember. And as long as, you know, as long as we take these six parameter as a guideline towards our way of life, towards our activities, and we try our best to engage in the deeds, you know, at least accordance with at least one of the parameters practice, or you know, according one of the parameters practice, and as long as as long as the practices are performed in relation to any of the six parameters, then that will qualify that oneself is observing the 18 root vows and 46 secondary vows. So you see, so if you remember one by one and want to preserve, observe purely, well done. But if not, just remember this six parameter, then, you know, all our activities in fact can be taken into the practice of six parameter, including job, family life, basically whatever we do in our daily worldly life, everything can be taken into practice of six paramita. you know, you see. So I usually give an example of cooking, you know. Is you are, you know, always assigned to cook at, in the family, then, you know, you that cooking activity, you can illustrate, you can take into a practice of generosity. You know, generosity of cooking, you know, as delicious as possible. Be generous of cooking as delicious as possible. Be generosity of love in cooking. You know, you put love in the cooking, it will be much more delicious, I think, isn't it? So, you know, generous in love, generous in generous in your creativity in cooking, you know, generosity in making as delicious as possible, like that. And morality, you see. Be you know, for the concern of the well-being of your rest of the family members, you know, you try to, you know, have a mindfulness to make sure that even a physical level that you use all the right ingredients, and from the attitude level that, you know, you solely want to benefit them, you know, through the transmission of your altruistic, you know, intention towards this cooking of the food to the family, at this very moment, you know, satisfy them with the material food. And may this, you know, be the cause of establish the seed of enlightenment in rest of my family members. With that intention, you know, this moral attitude, then you cook, you know. Then joyous effort. You know, not like kind of why only me had to cook, you know, everybody enjoy eating, you know, not like that. You know. So, wow, you know, how fortunate, you know, I got chance to cook. How fortunate I get chance to serve others, serve my family. You know, like there's a lot of delightfulness, enthusiasticness, you know, joyous effort, you know, is a parameter of effort, you see. Because why so joyous? Why so much, you know, joyous effort there? Because of, you know, that your intention is not just to feed them this material food, but you already have an intention to benefit ultimately, that this will cause, this will establish seed of their enlightenment, their freedom from samsara. Therefore, your time is not wasted, your effort is not wasted. Like, as I said before, I think if I remember correctly, I give an example of you know, the Buddhist self, great hearted, the previous life of Buddhist Shakyamuni Buddha in the Tigris, in Nepal, you know, feed the Thai flesh to the five tigers hungry family, you know, saying that at this very present moment I satisfy you by this material, you know, physical flesh, and eliminate, overcome the suffering of hunger. And may this create the cause for you to be the first disciple when I come and turn the wheel of Dharma. Then there that you will, I will lead to actualize you. I will guide for you to actualize arahatship within that very lifetime. You know, so you see. So with that bodhicitta expression, you know, not only free the tigers from the hunger in that very present moment, when Buddha, his you know, coming lifetime, when he came to turn the wheel of Dharma as a Siddhartha, you know, in Varanasi, when he first turned the wheel of Dharma of Four Noble Truths, the five Brahmin disciples are his first disciples, you know, and all the five disciples within that very time, actualize the freedom from entire silent existence, samsara, through achievement of the arahatship, you see. So these are the same way, just by cooking we can do that, you see. So then patience, it requires a lot of patience, you know, with the intention of, you know, purifying impatientness, then put a lot of peacefulness, gentleness, you know, delightfulness, you know, in cooking, you know, knowing the ultimate benefit to all your family members. So that cooking, you know, with so much patience, practice of paramita of patience. Concentration, you know, have a mindfulness, you know, never to have the delusional attitude, delusional contamination towards, you know, act of this cooking, you know. Have a single-pointed, dedicated mind towards the altruistic, you know, all the act of cooking, serving, including washing the dish, washing the plate, you know, it becomes accordance with the motivation that you set before, you know. Then, at the end of the day, at the end of the cooking, at the end of the service, at the end of the washing, then, you know, you actualize in the wisdom of selflessness. You know, you see, you cook selflessly. After you cook, after you put so much effort, you put the dish on the plate, and each one of them give you negative comments. Some say it's too much salt. Some say it's too you know, there's not enough color. You know, some say not enough portion. Every one of them give you, you know, negative comments, you know, because of the selflessness attitude towards the cooking, because of you have this wisdom, there's no disappointment. You know, there's no disappointment. You know, all your efforts is the best of it, and you have done your part. There's no grasping. You see, not only that, you know, the cook yourself, the food, and the purpose that you dedicated for temporary and ultimate benefit for your family member, all, you know, bring into the wisdom of lack of inherent existence. You see, so within just one cooking activity, entire six parameters are applied. So taking care of children like that, you know, taking care of your partner like that, you know, working in the company, you apply all these six parameters. Whatever you do, you apply these six parameters. You are perfectly upholding 18 root vows and 46 secondary vows of the Bodhisattvas, both the aspirational Bodhisattva vows and engaging Bodhisattva vows. You know, so when you think from this point of view, this angle, then I can do it. You know, it's not as difficult as when you read one by one. You know, so you see, so this is good to know. You see, so like that. So then the verse 20 it talks about the quality of, you know, someone, the quality of the master that who is qualified to grant the vows. Those who maintain any of the seven kinds of individual liberation vows have the ideal prerequisite for the Buddhist vow, not others. Yeah, so the person who grant the vow, someone that who, you know, who have the, you know, who maintain any of the seven kind of individual liberation vows. So based on this teaching, then, what you call the. Yeah, so so someone that who has definitely has to have refuge vow, definitely has to have, must have refuge vow, and on top of that, someone who holds the five lay vows. Then on top of that, preordination. On top of that, the best will be holding the ordination vows, such as preordination vows, which has the three abandonments and three adoptions. The abandonment of worldly name, worldly sign, and worldly attitude. Who is holding the vow of dharma name, spiritual name, spiritual sign, spiritual attitude, on the basis of mind of renunciation. And those vows has to be the vow of renunciation, not just ordinary precept, but that precept or the vow has to be on the basis of mind of renunciation. So ngejungi tomba. Then, and if someone is holding, then if possible, then it would be even better that that master who is holding the nervous vow, which holding 36 nervous vows, 36 nervous vows, then it would be even better, someone that who is holding 253 fully ordination vows, the fully ordained monks, vows. Then on top of that, having the Bodhisattva vows received through unbroken lineage masters, and observing the vows in daily basis, in daily basis, at least in lively kind of manner, at least six times in the day, six times in the night, that freshly reminded, restored the aspect of the Bodhisattva attitude, the Bodhisattva the vow, so if someone who has on the basis of the fully ordination vow, then having the Bodhisattva vow, then this will be the best, the characteristic of the master that who can confer the Bodhisattva vow. Then you will be channeled the blessing. You will channel the blessing of the vow that which will affect your heart, which will affect the development of the bodhicitta. Otherwise, if the master who grant the vows himself don't hold the vows, and just go through the ceremony, you can't receive, you won't receive the benefit of the blessing, the channeling of the blessing. So that means there's a blockage. You may go through the ceremony, you may learn the intellectual understanding, but then the actual realization of bodhicitta won't take effect in your mental continuum. So therefore, it is necessary, the master who conduct the ceremony should have these vows. Should have this characteristic. Otherwise, just a ceremony is very simple. Just read through few words and repeat a few words, and the ceremony is very, very simple. There's no difficulty at all. you see, but the real the qualification comes the purity of the lineage and the observation of the vow within that that master. Right? So that's why I say those who maintain any of the seven kinds of individual liberation vows have the ideal prerequisite for the Bodhisattva vows, not others. So he said, not others. Then verse 21, the Tathagata spoke of seven kinds of individual liberation vow. The best of this is glorious pure conduct. From the individual liberation vow, the supreme one is glorious pure conduct. The glorious pure conduct is referred to someone who holding 253 monastery vows. 253 monastery vows. Said to be the vow of fully ordained person. You know, it's said here, like that. Then, verse 22, according to the ritual described in the chapter on discipline in the Bodhisattva stage, take the vow from the good and well-qualified spiritual teacher. Understand that a good spiritual teacher is one skilled in the vow ceremony who lives by the vow and has the confidence and compassion to bestow it. So, yeah, these are the qualities. you know, the ritual, or how to say, here the ritual refer to the prayer, the ceremony, the prayer that used for the ceremony, has to be according with, you know, the sutra, that which, you know, which has the tradition of using, you know, to confer the vows. And able to really truly grant be the conducive channeling method to channel the pure lineage and the vow to the disciple. if you look into Lamrim Chemo, the great Lamrim, this extensive, you know, the way of granting the Bodhisattva vows. And many scriptures, you know, explain that. And there's the ceremony that can be taken both the individually aspiration of Bodhisattva vow and the engaging Bodhisattva vow in a separate ceremonies. Also, there's a text that can be taken simultaneously. And there is extensive version of taking, going through the ceremony, and middle length, and the most condensed way of going through the ceremony. So there are varieties of way that you can confer, but it has to be accordance with what established in the sutra, not by personal kind of way, you know, whatever way you like to do, not like that. So then verse 24, however, in case you try but cannot find such a spiritual teacher, then I shall explain another correct procedure of taking the vow. I shall write here very clearly as explained in the Ornament of Manjushri's Buddha Land Sutra. How long ago, when Manjushri was Ambaraja, he arose the intention to become enlightened. Then continue with verse 26. In the presence of the protector, I arose the intention to gain full enlightenment. I invite all beings as my guests and shall free them from the cyclic existence. Verse 27. From this moment onward, until I attain enlightenment, I shall not harbor harmful thoughts, anger, avarice or envy. So then verse 28, I shall cultivate pure conduct, give up wrong doing and desire, and with the joy in the vow of discipline, turn myself to follow the Buddhas. Verse 29, I shall not be eager to reach enlightenment in the quick. I shall not be eager to reach enlightenment in the quickest way, but shall stay behind till the very end for the sake of single sentient being. Verse 30, I shall purify limitless, inconceivable land and remain in the ten direction for all those who call my name. Then verse 31, I shall purify all my bodily and by verbal form of activities, my mental activities too, I shall purify and know and do nothing that is non-virtuous. Verse 32, when those observing the vows of the action intention and train well in the three form of discipline, their respect for these three form of discipline grows, which cause purity of the body, speech and mind. So, if there's a qualified master, I think I've already said that before. If there's a qualified master, then you take from the master. If not, then as described earlier here, you just simply feel the presence of enlightened Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, enlightened Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. Then in front of them, then you. You pledge yourself. You pledge yourself to, commit to the Bodhisattva's conduct, both in the aspirational level as well as, to engage in the practice of six paramita, which to bring about benefit to the sentient beings, up to this state of enlightenment, through the engagement of the practice of, avoiding any form of negative actions, negative activities of through body, speech and mind, which are the harmful for the sentient being's happiness, and to cultivate, all the virtues, under the guidance of the three higher trainings, higher training of morality, higher training of concentration, higher training of wisdom, then discipline one's own body, speech and mind to able to perform the act and thought accordance with the moral conduct of moral conduct that which is compatible to the Bodhisattva's attitude, which expressed through the attitude through the 18 conducts and 46 conducts by abandoning 18 negative conducts and 46 negative conducts negative attitudes so then this way then from these three form of the discipline grows which are the purity of body, speech and mind, then from there then you purify your body, speech and mind. You develop your body, speech and mind into the pure purity through the progress of the paths and grounds, and eventually, to actualize the state of the absolute purity state, which is the state of the Buddhahood, Buddha's three body, the Dharmakaya body, Sambhavakaya body, and Nimanakaya body, or in other words, to actualize wisdom body and method body. So, you see, the ethical discipline of creating virtues is maintained by the six excellent factor, which are called the six paramitas, So, the purpose of taking the Bodhisattva vows is to gather the virtues and to purify the non-virtuous. And the way to do that is in application, you know, to taking all our action of body, spirit, and mind in the accordance with the six paramitas. And this can be, you know, taking one's action of body, spirit, and mind in the practice of six paramita through the 11 ways of helping or benefiting others. So such as so basically, you know, material help, you know, helping all those who need material help, you know, providing your best. Even it's a material help, but it's still, you know, helping your best ability. Second is helping those who are confused about the means to. So anyway, no need to go through this one by one. And not just the 11, but there's a many. Basically, you know, if you refer to the subdivision within the six paramita. That morality got three type moralities, generosity got three type generosities, you know, patience got three type, three types, concentration got three types, you know, wisdom got three types. But in short, the third one, you know, benefiting sentient being, you know, the morality of benefiting sentient being, morality of generosity of benefiting sentient being, etc. So the whatever conduct that you perform through the three, through the six paramitas, all has to be in the impact of, you know, able to bring benefit to sentient beings. So as long as that is counted, then if the conduct will be according with the Bodhisattva's way of conduct. So I won't go through the 18 root texts, 18 root vows, and the 46 secondary vows. So maybe Mel will go through it. Bodhisattva vows. Yeah. Or you can look into the blog. I've already. It talks about 18 root vows. 46 secondary vows. So there's many texts, and if you refer to that one particular small booklet in library, it's here. Verse is here. Okay. So verse 34. All Buddha says the cause for the completion of the collections whose nature is merit and exalted wisdom. Is the development of a higher perception. All Buddhas says that the cause of the completion, cause of the liberation, of the collection of the three countless eons merit, collection of three countless eons merit. Which are also nature, the collective of merit, which comes in the nature of merit of merit and merit of wisdom, wisdom and method. One is the merit of merit is bodhicitta, merit of wisdom is wisdom realizing emptiness, is the development of the higher perception, is the way to. Actualize the higher perception. Eventually to develop the highest level of perception, which is the omniscient, omniscient mind of the Buddha. Verse 35. Just as the bird with the undeveloped wing cannot fly in the sky, those without the power of higher perception cannot work for the good of living beings. So the first line is as an example, And then the third line is the meaning. Those without the power of higher perception cannot work for the good of living beings. So even you have bodhicitta, but then you don't have the you know, by the help of wisdom realizing emptiness, you know, one will not able to benefit ultimately to the sentient beings. You know, even you have wisdom realizing emptiness, but you don't have bodhicitta, one won't able to benefit ultimately to all sentient beings. You know, it would be like a bird that you have only one wing, you know. The merit gain, verse 36, the merit gain in the single day by those who possess higher perception cannot be gained even in 100 lifetimes by one without such higher perception. So, in earlier, you know, before the verse 34 is very much focused on the, what you call the conventional altruism. So then from verse 34 onward, main teaching focus on the ultimate altruism, which is on emptiness. So merit that accompany with the merit gained in the single day by those who possess the higher perception cannot be gained even in the 100 lifetimes by one without such higher perception. So whatever merit that you accumulate, it characteristic by the wisdom of seeing lack of inherent existence in all those meritorious deeds, then the merit that you accumulate, you know, is great, you know. So the merit that you accumulate in a single day with the accompany of wisdom is higher than, you know, the merit without wisdom that you accumulate for 100 lifetimes, you know, so like that. So, yeah. Then verse 37, those who want swiftly to complete the collection of full enlightenment will accomplish higher perception through effort, not through laziness. So here in particularly referring to actualize verse 37, you know, to engage in what you call the talking about the importance of actualizing karma biting, shamatha, you know, in order to actualize the highest perception, wisdom realizing emptiness, highest perception referred to wisdom realizing emptiness, that can be actualized swiftly and easily if you have the karma biting mind. If you have the karma biting mind, you know, and the practice of higher perception to the eradication of defilement, it become most effective if you use the practice of special insight. The special insight is the special insight meaning the wisdom realizing emptiness, you know, bring into application as an antidote on the basis of karma biting mind. You know, through the karma biting mind, then through the on the basis of shamatha mind, having the highest perception, which is emptiness, then that bringing into to eradicate the defilement, you know, this will be the most effective way. So in order to actualize shamatha, then one require diligence to actualize it, you know, such as purifying the five faults and actualizing the eight antidotes, and one of the major faults is laziness. And another major fault is the distraction, you know, and so we need to have a conducive environment where one can avoid from the distraction as well as can avoid from the laziness, then able to bring one's mind into training of actualizing single-pointed concentration or the shamatha, and this way we can able to eventually bring the absolute force of absolute potential of the wisdom realizing emptiness in relation to eradicating the defilement. So verse 38, without the attainment of the karma abiding, higher perception will not occur. So therefore make repeated effort to accomplish the karma abiding. So, you know, the shine or the karma abiding, like as what Maitreya's ornament for the Mayana Sutra, as it described as a 9 different stages to be developed. And then those 9 different stages of the karma abiding or the shamatha can be developed, as mentioned earlier, adopting the conducive conditions such as the 8 antidotes, regarded as the 8 antidotes, in order to overcome the like 5 faults, like antidote, like correct place to train the shamatha, technique. then also having the correct guidance, knowledge, how to overcome in those 5 faults, in a most effective way, through timely, applying the applications, through timely withdrawing the applications, etc. So there's 8 different type of antidotes and 5 different type of faults. So also about a small note, how to meditate on karma abiding. I think in the blog, teach you those 8 antidotes and 5 faults, and how to gather all the necessary conditions to develop the shamatha. So there's a certain basic necessities in order to have a successful, karma abiding practice. So you can refer to that. It's just a few pages, but so once you have all the conducive conditions, then usually the karma abiding realize, shine can be obtained, or karma abiding can be obtained just within 6 months. When you have all the described conducive conditions that mentioned in the text that you have, then within dedication of 6 months that you can able to achieve karma abiding. So when you achieve the shine or the karma abiding, then your mind becomes serviceable. The whole purpose of shine is to actualize serviceable mind. When you have the serviceable mind, you can stay away from the distraction. You can stay away from the disturbances of the gross delusions that intrude through 5 senses, including the our mental attitude. So in that way, even though the delusions are not purified, disturbances are not purified, but then we can still stay away affected. And since our being is not affected by those obstacles, then when we bring about the practice of developing the path, become most effective, you see. And even though we gain emptiness realization directly, but then we don't have a proper serviceable mind, the application, the antidote to eradicate the defilement won't be effective, you see. So like that. Then verse 40, thus maintaining the well and conditions mentioned in the collection of meditative stabilization chapter, place the mind on any one virtuous focal object. So virtuous focal object. So you see, when we want to train shamatha, a single pointed meditation, you know, from Buddhist teaching, it advises us to use virtuous objects. So that has a extra benefit. They are saying that you can just train concentration through any object like light or any object, but then it still can be trained single pointed concentration, but one will lose a lot of benefit. So anyway, we will talk that tomorrow. So I will stop here. So thank you. Yeah. So we dedicate the merit. Oh, Janjo Semjo Rinpoche, Maje Panam Jeju Che Kewa Nyemba Mebai, Gone Gondo Pewara Isho, Tonyi Dawa Rinpoche, Maje Panam Jeju Che Kewa Nyemba Mebai, Gone Gondo Pewara Isho, Kanre Rave Kowe Shingam Dependan Dewa Mali Chume, Chere Sewa Tenzin Jazo Ishabe Sede Badu, Tenjuro ji tupzu shanshin janguen jawe den zingyong pewe kunsu tongpo ji tu chosong gowe leme tu ruba dazo du ji